The Shire of Nanup would like to acknowledge the Wurundjeri and Boonwurrung people of the Noongar Nation as the traditional custodians of the land of which this podcast is recorded on, and we extend our respect to the elders past and present, and we extend that respect to all Aboriginal Australians living within the Shire of Nanup.
It's a horrible teacher. Cane, cane, cane. That's what you used to get. He taught us respect and discipline. We'd done as we were told when we left school, or a long time after that. Come to Nanup, had a reunion, and we was all invited to go. And he said he was sorry. He was really sorry that he did what he did.
This is the Nanup Oral History Podcast. This morning we are delighted to be talking with Val Gazzola. Val has such an incredible way of sharing her past and helping us to feel connected to the people she talks about. She shares her deep love for her dad, her fun childhood helping out on the farm, as well as her schooling. Val also talks about what she learned from the Aboriginal people she interacted with as a child and gives us a detailed walk down the main street of Nanup with the businesses as they used to be. She discusses the important contributions Italians made to Nanup, detailing how they worked at the mill, how she went on to marry Vic, and how her daughter Nola was the last baby born at the Nanup Hospital. Today we're here talking with Val Gazzola. Val, thank you so much for coming to chat with us today.
Yes, okay.
Tell us a little bit about your family.
Both born here, yeah. Dad was a rodder, he was Henry Rodder, and Mum was a Longbottom, she was Jessie Longbottom, yeah, and they got married here in Nanup.
And so you have a very long lineage here in Nanup. So your parents were both born here. Did they share a little bit about Nanup when they were growing up here?
Yeah, especially Dad. Dad used to.
What did he share?
Used to say, you know, when they used to go fishing and when they used to go down the creek when it came up and in the winter and swim, and used to tell us a lot of that. And when they went down to Deneve's Pool, there was a pool named Deneve's Pool because there was a shop up where the liquor store is now. That used to be a man in there, used to have a news agent, and he was Mr. Deneve. And so down the back they had a pool, and that was named after him. That's where everyone went to swim.
And you growing up in Nanup, can you tell us about your childhood?
Went to Nanup School, it was Nanup State School then. When I finished school, I was 14, 15, and then I started to work at Blythe's Draper Store, and I got a job there, and that was where Pickle & O is now, but it had was a whole lot. Where you have Pickle & O one side, well, that was the side where Pickle & O is. That's where we used to keep all the stores when Mr. Dean come and dropped all the parcels off, and that they used to go in there and used to go through into where Taste of Nanup. That's where we had all the materials and shoes and all that. And I stayed there until I got married, until I was 23. And then because then you got married, you couldn't work anymore.
Wow.
You had to leave work when you got married. And then we got married in the Church of England Church, and then after that,
I'd love to know how you and Vic met.
Yeah, we met at a dance. We used to have dances in the Old Town Hall, which is still in there. And every week they used to have dances, and that's where I met Vic.
What was he doing in town?
He was working at the timber mill, and they used to have like a planer shed. They had done all flooring boards and all that. And he really liked that. He liked to work with the timber. We went back to Italy 4 times to see his mum. And then, we had Nola then, she was only small. And then the last time we went back, I think Nola was 17.
So Gazzola's Italian?
Yeah.
And when did he come here?
He came here, he was 22 when he came here to a place in Perth, and they told them where to go. They had to go to the head office in Perth. Okay. And they had to tell them where to go. And Vic come to Nanup, some went to Bailing Up, some went to other towns, and that's how I met him.
And your life together, did you live in town?
Yeah, we lived just about a kilometre out, yeah.
Where you still are now?
Yep.
Wow. Can you tell us about where you were born?
Yeah, I was born in 1937 in Nanup Hospital. Yep.
And where did you grow up?
Yes, a small farm Yeah, we just had a few cows. Dad had a few cows and he used to milk them by hand. And we had about 4 acres and so we just had a few cows and I used to really love that. So going down to the old separator and that, I used to love that. And put the glass and the fresh milk and drink it.
Oh. How beautiful.
And they say all those things are no good for you now. You mustn't do that. It's got to be boiled. It's got to be this. Oh, well. We used to take eggs down and crack them and put an egg in the thing and we had the old beater and beat it up. Made an egg flip.
Amazing.
Didn't hurt us anyway. Yeah, when we had the few cows, we had the little calves. They were lovely. We used to feed them, you know, just by hand. Stick your fingers in the mouth, just put 2 fingers in so that they can drink out of, and feed them out of a bucket. I used to love that as well. Yeah, all those memories are really beautiful to me. And Dad, I used to go down to his parents, down to a Rodder's. Dad was a Rodder, and he lived in where Keith Payne lives now. And Granddad, he used to make all the horseshoes and that for people and fix all the horseshoes up. He had a forge. They used to call a forge then, and that's what he used to do, yeah. But it was lovely when Keith Payne shifted into the house. He was really interested in that, so he asked me to go down and ask me that why was all those horseshoes and everything there. And I said, well, they were all left from Granddad. Mm. I used to love to go down there. I don't know why, but I did. And we weren't far away. We were just down the road and just turn, so we weren't far away. And when the floods came up, well, in the winter, the floods always used to come up, and the river used to come up a certain way, and then when it came up over the bank in the river, used to push back at the creek, and so it used to stop us coming to town. So we had to, there was an old man there called Merv Longbottom and he used to have a boat and he used to take us across in the boat and we used to walk to town, do our shopping and then walk back to the boat and then he'd take us back and we'd go home. It was lovely.
What an incredible childhood.
Grandmother, they used to live on the bridges there. East Stanhope Road, you turn this way and they used to, and where you go to Augusta now, well, they were just over the bridge, just there. You could see the house from the road. And they were there, just there. Just where the bridge is.
Yep.
Just when you do, oh, straight there, the first house there, just across the road where the now Shire has a depot. They dump all the gravel and that. When they want it, they come and get it from there. But it used to be just for the Aboriginals and they used to camp there all the time and they used Dad used to take them over eggs. And then once Dad said, do you want to come? I was only little. And he said, do you want to come over? They're going to take us in the bush just there because there was bushland, a lot of bushland there then. And they'll tell us the berries you can eat and where you can get water and all that stuff. And I'll always remember those berries. They were beautiful. And where you get water out of the trees, what trees and how you get the water, and that was just beautiful to me. Dad was really interested in Aboriginals, how would they survive where we wouldn't. Yeah, they were really interesting. I'll always remember that. I used to always be with Dad anyway because Dad used to go out in the army now and again. So when he came home, yeah, I was with him all the time. I really missed him when he went to he used to go in the army just for a short time. Yeah, I come back home, I was all happy. With Mum, I sort of fancied Dad because Dad sort of, he didn't spoil me, but he was just there and he was just lovely. When Mum used to be growling at me all the time. Oh, dear me. Because I remember once, Dad and Mum were down milking the cows. And anyway, my sister was the one, she used to tittle-tattle all the time. Mum used to say, look after Cheryl. She was tiny when she was born and look after Cheryl. So I had her dink her to school they bought a big bike, 28-inch then, because then you had to grow into it. because it was too expensive to buy. It was a second-hand one, but... And I was sort of bobbing up and down to go up the cemetery hill. Mum said, be careful and don't let her feet get in. I had her dink her to school and don't let her feet get in the spokes. And when she used to go home, she used to say, oh, and Belle made me walk up. And I didn't. I didn't make her walk up at all. I used to push her and she was sitting on it. I used to push her up, push the bike up.
Was it just you and Shell or were there other children as well?
No, just me and Shell.
Amazing. When you did the milking and the separating of the milk, was that for the cream run or was that just for your family?
And that was for the, yeah, that was for the family.
Yeah,
for yeah. The family. And you used to get the cream. So the separator used to separate the milk and then you'd get the cream out of one spout and milk out the other.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely cream.
I also have here that you worked at a restaurant.
Yes, I did. I worked in Dyson's restaurant. It was Mrs. Dyson then. And that's where the... used to be a bank there where the Tea Rooms is now. The Blackwood Cafe used to be in there. And then on the corner used to be a butcher shop first on the corner where the real estate is now. It went to a butcher shop and then back into a restaurant.
Are there lots of other changes in businesses that you remember over the time?
Where Wendy's is now, there was... Foursquare, there was a Ford's used to have that, the same sort of thing, you know, food and that. Next to that was an old house where people could live in, could rent in between that. And then there was a little shop thing there and that used to be like, you could go, like it was like a little bank, you could go and get money and that out of that. It was just a little, like a little hut thing there on the edge of the footpath. And then next to that was Killaby's, they used to sell everything. No, that was a shop that came out from Busselton. There was Brian Gale's Hairdressers. That was where Rob Stanley is now. And then across the road was the chemist where what used to be Mr. Badrick across the road where that little, I don't know what that little shop has. It's just where the road comes up and there's a house, that blue house on that side.
Oh,
and on,
yes.
On this side, I don't know what that has. That used to be a barber shop.
Okay. It's empty at the moment.
Yes, I think it might be. I don't think it opens. And then going back towards the bridge, back this way, well, so it was a barber shop there. And then there was the butcher shop. Next to that was the chemist, Mr. Scott, and he used to live in the back. And then he was a chemist there. So, and... next to that was the old house there, which is not there anymore. Yeah, anyway, and then you went down to where the... and then there used to be a place there where a man used to make shoes and fix shoes, and that was in where Phil Johnson used to live, and there used to be the house there. And then the other place used to come up to the footpath and he used to fix shoes and make shoes. And then there was... Yeah, and then from there was the Blackwood Cafe and that's where the restaurant was. And then across the road there was, and then the bank. And then across the road there was like the hardware, Blythe's Hardware. And then they shifted the shoe shop, the Blythe's, Hilda and Bill. What I used to work for, Bill used to drink a lot and he was a bit close to the hotel there. So he shifted up to where Rob Stanley is. He just had menswear and he shifted up there. But he still was too close to the pub. And then they used to have the convent like next to the liquor store. They used to have all the nuns there and where the Catholic Church is now. And the nuns had a little, there was a little... hut thing there or a little one room thing where the priest used to stay, but apart from that the school was there, the Catholic school, and they had all like where the kids used to teach, where the teachers used to teach the kids, but then where the nuns used to stay, they used to have a lot of room for the nuns like next to the school, and they took all them away. And then we were the state school, we were just straight across the road from there, it was state school.
Mm-hmm.
Up a bit further, yes, Mr. Happ used to have a store, Graham Happstead. He used to have a store there straight across the road from the hardware store there, straight across the road from there. Well, next to, Graham lives there, mm-hmm. so that's next to him. Yeah, that's where his dad and mum had a store. They had a nice store there. And apparently had a huge cellar underneath the shop. There was a great big cellar, like a great big huge room. And then they went to Bailing Up or somewhere. I'm not really sure where they went. But Graham lives in the house that his mum and dad built. He lives in that house, yeah. And then there was Wilson's garage where the garage is there. You just get up from Graham. That was Wilson's garage, and they used to live in the house at the back.
So while the buildings are the same, a lot of the businesses have shifted or...?
Yes, where Ampol is now and where their shop is, well, that used to be Mr Hughes used to have that, and for the same sort of thing, you know, food and ice creams and that. And Billy Hughes, he used to have that. So more or less the streets were the same. It hasn't altered really a lot when you think about it. Not like some towns alter a real lot.
What would you say is a big change you've seen in Nanup?
The biggest?
Yeah.
People.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More people, different people?
Yeah, more, because they had those subdivisions out there, see, and they never had those. And that fetched quite a few people, yeah, into town. But not a lot of people. You don't notice a lot, because when they first lived there, they used to have, like, people they'd buy the land there and just build a house and just have it for a holiday. They stay for a while and then they go back to where they come from. They just used to have for a little holiday house.
When you were growing up and you went to the state school, can you tell us a little bit about school? Were there lots of children? What were your teachers like?
Because Mr Hartley, you know that book, Hartley, he was my teacher. Wasn't very nice, but anyway, he's a horrible teacher. Cane, that's what you used to get. But anyway, it doesn't matter. And I've got a picture along with a paper like that, and it shows you in the classrooms. It's in one room. We didn't have one class to one room. We had 5, 6, 7 and 8 in one room, and he used to teach us all.
And how many kids were in that giant class?
I suppose it would have been about 50, and we'd done as we were told. But then again, he taught us respect and discipline. We'd done as we were told when we left school. And then he had a reunion, a long time after that. He had a reunion when he got old. He'd come to Nanup, had a reunion, and we was all invited to go. And he said he was sorry. He was really sorry that he did what he did. Because we used to have his wife. She used to have us as littlies down the bottom in that little brick building down the bottom. And where the Shire is now, that's where the school, that's where we was. That was our school. And his son used to be in the same class as me, and he wouldn't have thought. He was just the same with everyone. If he'd done something wrong, he used to get it. And they used to live in that house, you know, where that lady is, what do you call it, someone's pantry?
Nana's pantry.
Yeah, that's where the headmaster, that's where he used to live.
Did many of your friends stay in Nanup?
Not that I went to school with, no. Oh, well, Julie Kay. She's one, but she wasn't in my class. Her brother was, Bob. Well, he's passed.
I've got in the notes that you gave us that people used to ride their horses to town.
Yeah, they did, yeah. Yeah, and they used to ride down to the hotel, and they used to tie them up. They used to, by the memorial, there used to be a big, thick, galvanised pipe around the edge of the footpath, and they used to tie them onto that and go across in the hotel and drink. And, that was lovely. And one day, I know, one night, Vic came home and he said that he had a cart, and someone, for a joke, went and got the horse and turned him around and faced him the opposite way.
Bit of fun.
I used to love horses. Oh, I loved horses.
Did you have them when you were growing up?
Yeah, we had one. We had one horse. And anyway, but Dad did not know. He bought it like if someone wanted to get rid of their horse. And so he got it and he said, well, there you are. And we had an avenue that went, the paddocks were there, but then there was an avenue that went down and into the creek. And Dad did not know and that it had racehorse in it. And so, you know, I couldn't get on this horse fast enough. And anyway, so I got on and off it went, and I went down to the creek to take it down, and it just went straight in the water, because that's what they do, the race horses. And off I went on the other side, sitting on the bank. Oh, goodness. I didn't do that again. Oh, poor old horsey. Yeah, but that's what they do apparently. When they see water, they go straight in.
What else did you love from that time?
We used to go fishing down the creek, but that's nothing. Everyone went fishing. And I really used to love to, when the floods are up, I used to love to do that, because we used to go down and put a stick in, and then we'd go back the next morning. We couldn't, where the water had gone down or come up, and we'd shift the stick. I couldn't get down there quick enough to see if it had come up or gone down. A silly little thrill out of simple things, I suppose. Yeah, because it was, as I say, there was no telly, there was nothing else, so you had to make your own fun. We used to have the pet kangaroos in the paddock, and we had Lassie and Laddie. They were just beautiful kangaroos. And he built a big fence right around the orchard, and that's where they were in there. We didn't know what to name, and Dad said, on the telly there was Lassie, the dog, and then he said Lassie and Laddie, so that's what it was. They were beautiful, and then they sprayed, didn't they, for codlin moth. They didn't tell us that it would affect and kill them both. No, really, we'd had them for a long time, and they sprayed on the trees, and the drips dropped down. You know, Dad asked them, would it affect them? And they said no, but it did so. Yeah, that was very sad, that was.
So can you tell us about your married life?
Yep, Vic was a very good husband who was lovely to me and lovely to everyone around him. Yeah, and he used to like to go to the, when he left the mill, well, he really missed the workers at the mill, and they used to say, oh, we'll come and see you. He used to go and see them, but they never ever come out. So they always used to, Friday night, they used to go to the hotel to have a drink. And so I used to take him down at 5 o'clock, and I'd pick him up about 7 o'clock. I used to go down so he wouldn't get caught. And he used to really enjoy that. That's the only way he caught up with his mates. Mm. But he was really, yeah, really a good husband and very funny, you know, doing things all the time. That's what I liked about him, because he was always funny. And then he got his... one of his brothers come over from Italy, and that was lovely as well. We'd never seen kangaroos or anything like that. Oh, their eyes were, when Vic took them for a drive, they couldn't believe all the kangaroos. Oh, they were so happy to see. And then we went over 4 times to see his mum and the family. But they always used to say they were going to come over, the others, but they got older and, you know, had a few sicknesses, and their dad passed away, and so that stopped them from coming. But they always used to ring me up all the time. And Manuela, well, she could talk Australian, and she was the one. She used to talk to me, you know, and she could understand what I was saying. So that was beautiful, because I could keep in touch with her how the others were. Yeah, lovely. And Vic passed away when 2010. And it just suddenly had a massive heart attack, apparently. That took me a long time to get over. It was just too much of a shock. You know, there's no warning. Yeah. And poor old Dad. Well, Dad went at home too. He used to come across, because he was living in the house, the house next door. He left a block of land one side for me and a block of land the other. And he had them subdivided, and he lived in the middle. And so he said that was just one for my sister and one for me. So we built, he said, when Vic left the mill, he kept saying, I'd really like you to build on that house so you could take care of me and Mum when you get older. And anyway, so I thought, well, we will. So we did, we built there next door. And he used to come through this little gate. And when I seen the blind go up, I know Dad was up, because Mum passed away in the hospital. She was there for 3 years. She had a stroke. And anyway, when the blind went up in this little window, I used to know Dad was up. And anyway, so then he used to come across and have a cup of tea. And I could hear him in his old slippers, coming across. And this morning, the blind wasn't up, and I went across, and I thought I sang out, "Dad," because they had those old windows where you just open them like that. "Dad, you there?" And I could see him sitting there in the chair. And I said, and he didn't answer. Anyway, so I got the chair and got through the window, and he was as cold as anything. And he'd had a massive heart attack, apparently, they said, about 3 o'clock in the morning. So whether he didn't feel well and he sat up in the chair to try and get breath or something. And it took me a long time to get over that. I used to hear the gate and hear his shippers coming. I knew it wasn't him, but it must have been his spirit.
Mm.
Yeah. I really miss Dad.
It's so understandable that you miss him. Can you tell us about some of the social life in Nanup?
The dances in the town hall. All used to congregate. All the men used to stand there at the entrance, and then when the dancers come, they go and pick their partners. And then they used to have that one where you change partners all the way around the circle. Some you don't want to dance with and some you do. Some trod on your toes, some didn't. Yeah, because some of them, you know, used to be a bit tiddly because I used to come across from the hotel. The hotel was a bit close, really. Come across here about halfway through the dance before the time went, and then they closed the hall. And then they had the supper room where the beautiful suppers. Yeah, all the ladies used to go there, and they used to, there was a great big long table, and they used to have all the food and cups of tea and that in there. That was lovely.
Was that after the dances?
After the dances, yeah.
Is that where you met Vic at one of these dances?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when they come from Italy out here, well, they couldn't talk English, see. So they had to go up to the Nanup school, and they had a lady there named Agnes Carr, and they went up there every night. They couldn't get work unless they talked English. Well, they said it was dangerous to work in a timber mill, work anywhere, when they don't. I mean, they might say, watch out for that, and they don't know. And so that's what they had to do. So there was quite a heap of them, because they had a heap of huts there across the road from the cemetery. There used to be a lot of huts there. Just where those row of houses are, well, behind that there was a lot of just single men's huts. There were only one hut, and that's where they used to have to stay. And that's where they call them the single men's huts. And they were just worked at the, they were just close there with the mill, so. And then they had a store there, like close by the mill. They had a big store that was lovely. You could get food and everything, and then you could go on one end and you could get wheat and all that sort of stuff for your chooks and then. And that was lovely. That was the mill store.
Mm.
And they had a playground there for the kids, and they used to have like when it was bonfire night and that, they used to have the bonfires there, the cracker night. Let all the crackers off. But one poor man, yeah, the cracker went off, but then he must have had a shirt and it went up and exploded there. And he had a nasty arm and he lost a big piece out of his arm. So anyway, they stopped it. No more cracker night. I suppose they were dangerous things. But yeah. they were lovely too for the mill, because it was just right there, right in the centre. And so they just had to come out of their houses and just go there. It was like the footy oval, I suppose, up here. And just a small piece of land there. They used to use it for that, because they used to have the footy teams and that here too.
I did hear you talking with Annalie before about your baby Nola being the last one born at the hospital. Can you tell us that story?
Yeah, I was only had a couple of days to go, and they told me, well, most probably you'll have to go to Donnybrook, because that's the next closest doctor. And when I went home, I thought, oh, I don't want to go and travel to Donnybrook, because with my first baby, and it was a bit scary. Thought I might have it halfway or something. And anyway, that night I was in the Nanup Hospital. I had Nola. She was so scary. Oh.
And how old's Nola now?
61.
Oh, wow.
Mm.
And she was the last person born there at the hospital?
Yeah. and she was the first wedding in the community centre.
Oh, that is something I did want to ask you. You say that there were a lot of weddings in the past. That's something that's changed?
Yes, yeah, it would have changed because there was a lot of weddings. See, a lot of people now just, you know, like live together and they call it a partner. That's fine. I reckon that's fine. If they don't want to get married, well, they don't. And but it used to be when you went together, well, you got married. That was, you know, that was just a thing. They didn't think of living together unless they got married. Yeah, and that's why I think there was a lot of weddings. Yeah.
And where were all the weddings?
Yeah, went to the church. I got married in the Church of England Church. Oh, yeah, and then you went up after, and then you went to the reception, which was in the town hall.
Mm, okay. Mm. Yeah. I've absolutely loved hearing your happy memories from your childhood and your life and the beautiful people in your family.
Yeah, especially Dad. I really missed him when he went.
Mm.
But that's life, isn't it? Yeah, got to make the best of it while you can. Every day's a bonus. And how many photos when he used to come home from the army and had to jump on his knee. I couldn't be closer to him. Oh, yeah. Just lovely.
Val, before you go, I just want to say a huge thank you for coming to talk to us.
It's okay.
Sharing your stories. It's been really amazing listening.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for letting me do that.
You've been listening to the Nanup Oral History Podcast. If you are not a Nanupian, please come and visit our small town. We would love you to come. If you are a Nanupian, please share it with your family and friends. We're really proud of this and we hope you are too. This podcast was made possible through the successful funding by the Department of Community's Age Friendly Community Program, facilitated through the local government's professionals and supported by the Shire of Nanup. We would like to thank all of those who have shared their stories to make this podcast happen. The podcast has been produced by the Shire of Nanup's Economic and Community Development Team and edited by Simple Ben Stories.